You're listening to Real Talk on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Here on Reality Check Radio, it's Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. Well, we have been thrashing to death with Phyllis Tichenin, the Western A Price diet, which is big on animal fats for the fat-soluble vitamins. And every time we do this, we get people coming in and they're emailing very nicely, very politely saying, oh, no, 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 you should be vegetarian or vegan and you're not meant to eat, drink dairy or eat meat. And so I did a shout out and said, look, I'm fascinated by this. We need a vegetarian / vegan on. And lo and behold, the call was answered by Tricia Jardine. Good morning, Tricia.
Good morning, Rodney.
It is so nice to have you on.
Thank you.
I don't understand. There's so much that we argue about, and I find the strangest thing that people argue about is diet. Because it's sort of like, you know, be you, right?
It's almost like religion.
It is like religion.
Yeah.
And you said you're as vegan as you can be a vegan.
Yes.
So what's the difference between being vegetarian and being vegan?
Vegans don't eat any animal products. Some eat honey. I do occasionally, but I still call myself vegan. But that's the only thing. Occasionally, there are some things that you might eat out that may have some animal product in it, although mostly you try not to.
You wouldn't have butter. You wouldn't have an egg.
No.
But a vegetarian might eat butter and an egg?
Yes. Some do. Some are pescatarian. They might have fish and seafood as well. I used to be like that in the 90s. I used to have a little bit here and there. But I think from the age of about 8 years old, because I grew up on a Waikato dairy farm, and there were things that I saw and there were things that my dad had to do in that kind of a business that I don't think either he or I particularly found palatable. And but my parents wouldn't let me go vegetarian when I was that young. But
You were keen on being vegetarian when you were eight.
Yes, because I was living with my family on a dairy farm in the Waikato in 10-foot Road, which is near Whitikahu, Taupuri. And I remember I started running at school, high school, getting into athletics. But even before then, I walked into the cowshed one day and Dad was slitting a sheep's throat for the freezer for the family. And I was appalled. And because as a young child on a dairy farm, we used to help bring up the calves, the heifers, the baby calves, and see them taken off their mothers and screaming as they were going down the road in the trailer to the freezing works, and the mothers would cry all night. And I think it affected me very young, and I thought there's something wrong with this picture, for me anyway. And but it took me a long time to actually get to the point where I even had the courage to go vegan. It's the best thing I've ever done in my life.
And you went straight vegan? You didn't go through a vegetarian phase?
Yes, I did. Yes, in the 90s, I was sort of here and there with it. And then in 2001, I went to live with my former partner in Budapest in Hungary and for a year. And there were a lot of vegetarians there. And we had a lot to do with the American expat community. And my ex-partner's best friend was an American vegetarian. He looked incredibly healthy. And a lot of the Hungarians had a very simple diet because they'd come out of communism about 10 years before. Mm. But they had only one McDonald's in Budapest at that time. It opened at 6 o'clock at night and they used to queue for it. And I remember thinking, well, they're going to regret that later. But I hope they're not a sponsor of yours. Don't want to upset the sponsors.
No, we.
But anyway, the Eastern Europeans were I was a little overweight. I'd been working for Wellington newspapers for that period, I think it was about 16 years. I worked for them for nearly 20 years in total prior to that. And I was a little overweight. I was going around in track pants looking like sort of frumpy Westerner, and there were all these gorgeous Eastern Europeans, and I discovered they had great big salad bars in the supermarkets there. They had three great big markets with, between East and West, they got the best produce from Western Europe, and then from places like Turkey and that, they got nuts and you know, spices. They had incredible markets. They all looked really healthy. They had a simple diet. The farmers didn't spray the fields. This is before the EU got hold of them. And I thought, yeah, I'm going to look like these people. So I decided to stick with what I believed in and to go completely vegan. So when I came back to Auckland in 2002, and I spent a year there, I just went completely vegan from that moment on.
And to this day.
And to this day, as much as I can. It's not perfect, and I think all vegans will, if they're honest, and a lot are. I'm online on Instagram and that with a lot of vegan influencers, and I do a bit myself, and a lot of them will say, well, it hasn't been a perfect journey. And occasionally they'll come out, and one shocked me recently when he came out and said, yeah, I remember the day I flew into McDonald's, stuffed down a burger and chips, and then felt terrible afterwards. So it's good to remind yourself occasionally why you're doing it.
So when you say you, it sounds like, you know, a Catholic sinning.
Yes, I suppose
you,
so.
You have an urge to sin. You have an urge
to. No, what, you don't.
Or you, what is it?
You feel so good. What happens is you don't have an urge to sin. Everyone around you seems to have an urge to deduct. Try and derail you. I realized after I became vegan and started to say so that I didn't get invited to barbecues. So you become also, well, back in early 2000s, you become socially isolated to a degree. Finding a date was impossible. Especially in this country, which has earned its GDP, and my father was part of that too for a while, on meat and dairy.
So, but if you're going on a date, you don't sort of proudly announce you're vegan before you go out for dinner, do you, or do you have to?
Well, I decided in the end you had to, just up front, be up front, because you didn't really want someone. My previous partner, before my current one, I used to cook steaks for him every night, and that was, I actually found that really hard. But eventually he went more and more vegan, lost a ton of weight. He's now aged 70, looks pretty good these days. We're not together, we haven't been for a long time, but, you know, he's certainly improved his life by spending some years with me, and I went more and more vegan conscious in that time when I was with him too. And I think it does affect the people around you.
So would you say you're, if I asked you, well, I will ask you, why are you vegan?
I'm vegan, a moral thing, health all reasons? The reasons. There are some vegans will say they're vegan for the animals. Yes, check that one. And it was probably that initially. But then when I became a journalist, I was a fashion journalist and general reporter and feature writer and investigative journalist, which is what I love to do. But I got more and more into health and fitness. And in the 90s, I spent about 12 years writing health and fitness supplements for Wellington newspapers, interviewing gym owners, athletes, Leslie Kenton, who was a well-known she wrote Raw Energy and Ageless Aging, a well-known health writer. I had the absolute pleasure of interviewing her four times when she came to New Zealand. She eventually bought a house in Governor's Bay in Christchurch and was there until she died a couple of years ago. But Yeah, I got to talk to these amazing people and learn more and more. I joined Les Mills in Wellington, which I absolutely loved. And I was a member of Les Mills in various places in New Zealand for 20 years. The exercise goes with it, but if you start with the food, you're more inclined to go and do the exercise, especially if it's mostly raw food, because you just start to feel so amazing. And you also go through a phase where you think, why didn't I know this? Why weren't we told this? How did I not know this, that having high raw vegan diet food is the best in the world? And a lot of people around me, I won't tell you how old I am, but I'm over 50. But that's all I'll admit to, but except under torture. But a lot of people around me are on medications. I don't take anything. I don't like them. I've had exes and family members who've been severely damaged by prescription medications. I personally was damaged by paracetamol. That's another interview, probably. Everyone around me has weight problems. Obesity is almost 2 in 3 in this country now. And in this town, I currently live in Oamaru. There's 2 slaughterhouses, very big meat culture. There's a very high obesity level. It's actually quite sad and morbidly obese. Morbid obesity is very high in New Zealand in general, in the Western world in general, and climbing in developing countries as well. I don't have the problems other people have. So I'm also vegan for health. I'm also vegan for the planet. I personally, as a child, witnessed the damage dairy farming does to the countryside. And I live in a rural town, so I still see it every day. I see the damage the slaughterhouses do to, you can see the blood coming down the seashore here some days. I used to live up on the hill. You could also see big chunks of fat and blood coming down every morning. I actually complained, I'm sure others did too, because it goes into Friendly Bay, which smells terrible, even though this is like a tourist town and that's a touristy part of the...
Oamaru is a beautiful place, isn't it?
It's a beautiful town, but it's ruined by, I'm afraid, by what most people earn their living from here. It's a shame. But that's been traditional here. It goes back a long way, the whole meat culture here. But dairy farming does to the environment is quite shocking. Now, in the early 70s, my father bought a farm and great big property in Golden Bay and Nelson, and he transitioned to horticulture, and he set up what the Nelson Mail, actually, when they interviewed him a few times, said was the South Island's first kiwi fruit for orchard and New Zealand's first commercial avocado orchard. But he also set up a tropical fruit orchard with he was experimenting for the DSIR, which was the forerunner of whatever they call themselves now, MAFTEC or Primary Industries. I can't keep up with the name change, but you know who I mean. He was doing a lot of experimenting and growing these things for them. And in the tropical orchard, he used to take tour buses through, had tours. And he said to me, and I was still a teenager then, he said to me, or later on even in the 80s, into the 80s, he said, I've been eating the produce I'm growing. And he said, I'm feeling a whole lot better. He said, my arthritis is disappearing. And, of course, it was raw that he was eating, and he made the most wonderful guacamole with the avocados. And yeah, I don't think he personally liked what you had to do as a dairy farmer, even though he was about he came from Scotland. He was about a second or third generation Scottish dairy farmer from the Dumfries, Isle of Skye area of Scotland. But I think he was much happier being a pioneer orchardist. And unfortunately, he tested a lot of sprays. He got damaged by spraying Roundup testing, that sort of thing. But in those days, we didn't, people in general didn't know that much about that sort of thing. Yeah.
Tell me, what would you have typically for breakfast?
I'm not much of a breakfast person, probably about, depending on the day, two or three coffees.
Two or three coffees, yeah.
They're not the hardcore cafe lattes, they're just the homemade ground ones, because real coffee, when you become mostly raw vegan like me, you become very clean on the inside, and so anything like coffee has a double effect.
Yes. So you have coffee, but you obviously don't have milk in it.
I have soy milk.
Soy milk.
Sometimes I have oat. I'll have an oat mocha if I go out. Yeah.
And then lunch?
Depending on the day. I mean, I'm a bit of a grazer. I tend to eat when I'm hungry. I do a bit of fasting. I absolutely love juice fasting. Intermittent fasting or juice fasting. I love juices. Not as good as I should be at the moment, because there's all these new vegan products that have come onto the market and into the supermarkets. So I love to try them out. And also some of the cafes, not many here in this town.
So you don't typically eat your usual three meals
no.
a day?
You no, sort of I haven't graze. Done that for years, no.
You sort of graze during the day with what? What do you graze on? Nuts? Juices?
Oh, juices, smoothies. Smoothies, juices. I'll make a salad. I absolutely love salads. I love fresh raw fruit and fruit and green smoothies.
Do you miss bacon?
And you get the smell of it. There's, the farmer's market down here has a big bacon butty caravan, and I swear it's the most popular stall in the market.
And it's something about bacon.
Smell sort of permeates around the historic precinct where the market is at the end.
Does that smell repel you, or think bacon?
No, well, to be honest with you, it does. Initially it was hard, right?
Yes.
So I learned to substitute with things like sun-dried tomatoes and nuts, salted nuts, salted cashews, roasted salted nuts, things like macadamia nuts, pistachios, a bit salty, anything that's a bit salty. But now it does disgust me, to be honest.
What about, how do you regard meat eaters? Like you said, you had a partner that you cooked a steak for.
Yeah, that was the previous one.
He's
gone more and more vegan.
Yeah.
And probably just.
But do you regard.
Despite us, me.
Do you regard us as sort of like morally degenerate or primitive life form?
No, I've still got an entire family of meat eaters who seem to think I'm the family hippie. I think my mother used to say that I've never been a hippie in my life. But I wouldn't mind these days. It'd be quite handy to go off grid, wouldn't it, and get away from the world with everything that's going on. Not a bad idea at all. No, I don't. Everyone I know is almost as a meat eater. So I just learned to go with the flow and take the rubbing that they give you when you, if you do go around for dinner or you go out for dinner with them or whatever, they'll always inevitably have a go at you. And I'm just thinking quietly to myself, yeah, but I'm not taking 20 medications every morning and every night. No, I'm not, suffering all the things that they're whining about.
No. When you said vegan products that are coming into the supermarket, what are these sort of products that are arriving?
There's an absolute mushrooming of vegan-friendly products now, and I like to try them out, which derails me from the high raw thing a bit. But there's tofu. Now, everyone thinks, initially I did too, it's completely tasteless and useless, and if you're a male, you get called a soy boy, which is actually kind of so wrong, it's not funny. But there's tofu products, there's sausages, there's wonderful vegan cheeses. There's a little company in Dunedin that makes some award-winning vegan cheeses called Let Them Eat Vegan. That's not a free promo. There's just about everything you can think of. There's mayonnaise. There's wonderful mayonnaise, actually. And I do find that when I used to have people around for dinner a lot, I would give them a meal and with nothing animal in it, starting from the 90s, and they would, or the 2000s, and they would not know that there was anything missing. And then that's the way I like to do meals for dinner parties, and they just wouldn't know. And then I'd probably say later, do you realise there wasn't one animal product in that? And they said, oh, well, it was really good anyway, you know.
Isn't that interesting?
So, sort of grudging compliments, but they didn't notice, so that was interesting.
I have a funny story. I had a friend, how do you say it, girlfriend, but she wasn't a girlfriend. She was a friend who was a girl, and she loved to cook and to bake, and she'd have these urges, and she'd invite you over, a couple of other people, and she'd cook for like all day, and there'd be about seven courses, and you could hardly walk out of her house. And my friend and I, she said, oh, you know, come over for dinner. And I said to my friend, oh, you just don't eat today, don't eat. You're going to be so, going to have such a meal, you won't believe it. And we turned up and she'd gone vegan.
And so everything was vegan?
Yes, and my friend was a very strong meat eater. And we sort of, and this is in the, oh my goodness, this is in the early 1980s. And I imagine they didn't quite have the vegan products that they have now. And she wasn't very experienced being a vegan. And so it was tofu this and tofu that and tofu this. And after about our fourth meal of tofu, we would sort of had enough. But it was just a funny story about me talking this lady out who I've lost contact with. It's interesting to me that there must be a growing demand for vegan products, given what you're saying the supermarket's doing.
There is Pamela Anderson, who's a world famous vegan, and there's actually quite a few. She said that apparently 5% of baby boomers were vegan or vegetarian, and she said three or four years ago that 12% of millennials were vegan or vegetarian. But judging on what's going on Instagram now, and it's just mushrooming, I would say it's a lot more than 12%. I'd say it's getting up there. Hard to say, but I'd say it's getting up to 20-25%, and I'd say that's going to continue. I think vanity is a good motivation. You don't put on the weight that meat eaters seem to. And you can, as a vegan, you need a lot of chips and things and bread and stuff. And but generally speaking, vegans tend to be thinner and healthier. And this is my experience, my observation. And I think as people discover that they can feel good and they don't need all that stuff, and not only that, if you like animals, that you're not harming, you're doing this. There's no such thing as no harm. Just existing on this planet means there's always going to be some sort of, you know, downside to everything. Like Isaac Newton said, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, you know, the silver ball ornament thing. But you can't be perfect, and you shouldn't really try, because you drive yourself crazy. But I think
people
discover they can be healthier, I think it will catch on, particularly with younger people. Although when older people start to get health issues, that is sometimes, or maybe they even have a heart attack or cancer diagnosis, that's quite often when they change over too. Then they have some kind of aha moment, epiphany, and change their lifestyle.
Do you imagine a world where there's more and more vegans, and eventually a world where it's only vegans?
Yes, because society has evolved that way. in the past. Remember when slavery was a good thing, and then after a period of evolution, it wasn't in the Western world and in America. There's always going to be a tough period where those who want change, and this goes for pharmaceuticals too, of all kinds, those who want change and see that something's wrong are called crazy, but then that's an evolutionary phase. And, you know, I think eventually there will be more and more vegans, I think. It won't be 100%. I know some vegans, like Joey Carbstrong on YouTube and Instagram, who's been a vegan influencer a long time. He's an interesting case, comes from a criminal background and having been in jail for drugs and done a lot of drugs and things like that, had some kind of revelation. But, I mean, I think, I think we're going through a sort of conflict discussion about it phase at the moment, but I definitely think it'll be a big thing going
forward.
Yeah.
What happens if we go vegan? New Zealand goes vegan, the world goes vegan.
Yeah.
What happens to all the sheep and the cows?
Yeah, that's a YouTube vegan influencers get a lot of followers from holding robust debates on these topics. It's actually quite good, quite interesting the way they talk about it with the other side too. They have a lot of opposing people who meet hardcore carnivores with opposing views on. And what happens to them? We just stop breeding them into captivity so that we can make use of them. We just stop breeding them. It's cruel. I witnessed as a very young child, and the taking the calves off the mother to get the milk. I mean, it's a mother. I'm a mother. As a mother, and we're all animals, you sort of relate to that as well. And
it is
terribly cruel. And now with big agro business, it's gotten even worse. It's not your family farm anymore.
No.
It's a gigantic corporate enterprise being controlled by big corporations with overseas input, and they don't care about animal welfare at all.
No.
Animal welfare, or your welfare standards in New Zealand are shocking.
But couldn't you imagine then, I don't know, I'm just off the top of my head, couldn't you imagine then just big corporates growing soy?
Well, they do. But they grow most soy to feed cattle, and they've been chopping down the rainforests in Brazil. The whole planet has been drastically affected by that. And in 2019, they were actually burning them down, and they're burning down the forests and rainforests in Indonesia as well to grow soybeans to feed cattle, and putting in cattle farms down there with Brahmin cattle. These, of course, are not indigenous to Brazil at all. And we need the rainforests, and we need what we've got left in New Zealand on the West Coast and wherever else they are as well. But because burgers are such a big business, it's the burger business in particular that the rise and rise of the junk food outlets, and it's very big business that is creating a lot of this environmental damage.
But wouldn't living in a vegan world, why wouldn't McDonald's just still be McDonald's but be selling vegan burgers?
When I was in London in 2001, I went to Burger King in Cambridge. And they had beautiful bean burgers. But actually last weekend I just went, there's only McDonald's and KFC, which is actually on the corner where I live. So I get to observe the queues of cars day in, day out, three times a day. But so I went around KFC and McDonald's last weekend.
Yeah.
With my cell phone camera, and I filmed a wee piece on do they have anything vegan. Honestly, they were scrabbling to find anything, and I would have thought there's enough probably not living in this town, but passing through, that would actually go to those places if they did have vegan products. In Britain, it's a lot better, and probably in the States as well. There's a lot more vegans per head of population. There's a lot more recognition of it, particularly in Britain. They're very vegan friendly these days.
And presumably your clothes are all vegan.
No, that I was going to confess to that earlier. I have Doc Martens that are not vegan. I have some woolen clothes that I still have. The Doc Martens I've had for years, and I still wear them. And a lot of vegans still do. You just wear them. But I also have now two pairs of vegan Doc Martens as well.
Okay.
But you couldn't get vegan ones, as far as I know, when I originally got them. But you just wear them. A lot of vegans do this. You just wear them until they wear out, and you're replacing everything you've got with non-vegan.
So you,
yeah.
And if I was wanting to be vegan, how would I go about it?
I would say to people, just transition slowly, unless you're one of these people who can jump in boots and all and just go hardcore straight off the bat. Sometimes that works for some people. That's what I did, more or less. I was vegetarian before, though, for 20 years before I went vegan, so, and philosophically knew it was the right thing to do, so it was easy for someone like me. But if you're a hardcore meat eater and you want to try it, there are programs online that you can find, like the 33-Day Vegan Challenge. There is incredible support. Vegans are very giving people. They will spend time, mentoring people through it and telling them what to eat and how to make really good stuff so that you're not missing anything, because you're not. You're absolutely not. In fact, my dream job these days would be to be a vegan chef. I've done a lot of work in hospitality as a student anyway, and cafes and kitchens and so forth. And I love it. And I think that's a good way to influence people too, is for the cafes to just offer options and also offer free tastings as well. But I tell people to do some research, to read up on it, to read the good stuff, not to listen to the carnivore diet people who are being funded by the meat industry. You find that out very quickly. Because as a journalist, I learned to look into the background of who's paying, who's key bono, who's benefiting, who's behind the scenes funding some of these people.
Two questions. One, how do you get your fat-soluble vitamins?
Well, you don't. In the end, you don't worry about it. I could sit down and eat heinous amounts of raw cashews. I have no idea whether you get any benefit from any of those things personally at all, because as a primate species, and there's five great ape species, bonobos, orangutan, humans, gorillas, and chimpanzees, and we are related. That's genetically undeniable. They live on mostly raw vegetable products. Fruit is very high. We need the glucose and the vitamins from fruit, like vitamin C and so forth. And nuts and seeds, that's mostly what they eat. Individual species may vary into insects and things as well. I don't know that for sure. But I'm sure Jane Goodall does, and by the way, she's vegan now. And very much an exponent of it too. And you end up not worrying about it. You end up not worrying about your weight or getting on a pair of scales ever, because you don't have to anymore. You end up with a higher level of self-confidence. I think we're living now in a culture of low self-esteem. I've actually segued off and on into junk food, and even if it is vegan junk food, it can still make you feel really terrible and make you feel really terrible about yourself. It does affect your thinking processes. I think once people really get into it, they won't really want to go back permanently. They might segue every now and again. But that's
and life. When, but, when you look at human societies, we don't see vegetarian societies like historically, and that the
India,
difference
Hindus, yes. Hare Krishna, Hindus, lot of Indians have been traditionally vegetarian. But they're also the biggest dairy farmers in the on the planet these days, apparently. So they've also had cows as well, but a lot of them are very vegan friendly. I think they've got a very robust vegan movement and in India.
But when you think of your we've been fed a narrative, when you think of your caveman, yes. you yeah. think of him eating meat.
That's what we've been told. It's interesting.
And you think he ate nuts and berries instead?
Oh, I think originally they did. But then maybe because humans were nomads and moving out into countries, because we started from Africa, and moving out into countries, say in Scandinavia or places like that, moving out into colder climates, somehow they discovered that dead animal incinerated carcinogenic animal flesh was tasty, and they could survive on it as some kind of food product. I don't know how well you would in the long run without the chlorophyll from the green plant life and without the glucose from the fruits and everything else that's in bananas and so forth. By the way, bananas are the biggest selling item in New Zealand supermarkets. I used to work for Countdown and New World.
Oh, wow.
In the deli, selling cooked chicken. But anyway, as a hardcore vegan.
Not too. Selling the bananas, you were selling the chicken.
Well, I needed a day job at that time, and I was a hardcore vegan right through that. In fact, it confirmed.
I think it would.
It absolutely did.
Look at that chicken sitting in those cookers and like, ooh.
God. I'll tell you what, too. They'll probably never hire me again if I did need a day job. But slicing big legs of pig that came in, and they came in with bruises on them, and you're thinking, okay, what happened to that animal in the meatworks? I live in this town's got two big slaughterhouses. People talk. I know what goes on these places. Also, a lot of the pork now is imported from China, so we don't know, you know, what that's gone through as well in a foreign country. So
tell me what you said raw food. Does that mean uncooked
raw.
Or unprocessed?
Uncooked. You can process food. Well, I'd say smoothies are processed because you're throwing everything in a blender, but it's still raw, and so is juicing. That's processing in a way. It's still raw. You've still got the access to the high raw nutrients because once you heat all food products above a certain Fahrenheit, Celsius, I'm not sure which one it is, once you heat it above a certain point, you're destroying all the nutrients. And also Leslie Kenton said, quite rightly too, that if you can have a garden or even an indoor garden in your tiny apartment or a high rise or wherever, I know there's some very good vegans in Las Vegas who are actually doing just that. They're living in a high rise complex in Vegas and they've grown this amazing garden and they're totally raw vegan influencers. They look incredible and they've been doing it quite a long time now, very healthy. If you can get your produce straight from the garden, preferably unsprayed, in fact, organic, as much organic as possible, and put it straight onto your plate and eat it straight away, that's the best way to get your nutrients because the enzymes in the food and the nutrients start breaking down and oxidizing once you cook something. And everything we buy in the supermarket, even in the produce section now, is probably at least a week old. And if it's come from overseas, it may have been in cold store as well and in transit. So it could be even older than that.
Where do you get your bananas from?
Supermarket.
Because we had this debate online. We had this debate on our show. And our Western A Price lovely lady, Phyllis Titchin, and she can't get organic bananas. And then we had people pointing out that you can grow bananas successfully in the north of New Zealand, which I didn't know. So I was just interested because she was quite horrified by what had been on our bananas that you see in the supermarket.
Oh, it's terrible. And the methane gas that they gas them with. They gas them to ripen them, I think. And
goodness me.
And they probably, because under Helen Clark's government, the GATT, the UN sort of treaty, they started to allow irradiation of produce like capsicums and so whatever it is, I forget they irradiate, but when they come into the country, that's also destroying the nutrients in the produce. Anything like that, fertilizers, sprays, all those things. Organic as possible is best. We do have organic bananas in our supermarkets in Oamaru. We're lucky.
Okay, we're talking to Tricia Jardine, vegan, journalist, and woman of many parts, and she's describing to us the vegan lifestyle. Tell me, when you're vegan, do you find that you have a clearer mind and a mental acuity?
Without a doubt. Actually, my partner now has gone.
It's quite difficult keeping up with your partners because I was still on the.
There aren't that many, but and they're all long term. But anyway, my partner now is pretty much vegan, and he was vegetarian before that. Is finding because he's a competitive swimmer and. He finds it's of huge benefit, and particularly doing the raw produce. He's finding great change. He's lost some weight, just feeling better, and definitely the mental clarity. And I think
interesting.
You can eat a lot of vegan junk food, and a lot of the younger influencers online, in particular, do, because their peer group is eating the meat. The non-vegan versions of that, and they've grown up with the concept of junk food as a food group, which is actually really sad because there's a lot of cancer out there, and I think that's a huge contributing factor. people do start to notice with the high raw diet the incredible mental clarity. And I first went hardcore 99.9% raw when I went to live in Dunedin. I was in the Christchurch quake and I went to Dunedin and I thought, well, I just about nearly died in that, so maybe it's time to up the game and improve my lifestyle. So that was 2012. I went hardcore vegan, raw vegan. It was incredible. The mental clarity and the perception, you know, and some online influencers who are Marcus is 60, Cara is 55. They live in Vegas too. Not the same ones as the apartment ones, but they talk about that. They talk about the mental clarity that you get when you're on a high raw diet, when you're in intermittent fasting. And it is very easy, and I've found it a bit too easy to get sucked into eating, going back to a percentage of cooked food, but it's not the same. You don't feel the same.
And intermittent fasting, how does that work?
Intermittent fasting is quite a big thing now. And there's a few really good actual doctors on YouTube who are advocating it now. These are more the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, which is Dr. Neil Barnard, Dr. Michael Clapper. A lot of these guys have been vegan for a very long time. Some of them have run fasting clinics in the States. Amazing people, and they advocate intermittent fasting. As an animal species, it's the natural state because in the wild, animals go through, and lions in particular do it, probably every day, go through times when they might go out, find something to eat it raw, and then there will be times when, and then they, lions in particular, do a lot of sitting around after that until the next hunt. So they're not eating all the time like humans are. I think we're the only species and the animals that we hand feed, like cats and dogs, that are eating all the time and eating processed and cooked foods. And so intermittent fasting, anything from 1 to 3 days or even a couple of weeks of just I don't advocate water fasting. I have done a 3-day water fast, but personally I'd say go on juices. Even if you're traveling, you can just even buy the supermarket juices. I whatever you can get your hands on pretty much. And just have a liquid diet for a few days and give your body a rest and a chance to cleanse out. It's fabulous. And yeah.
We are. Do you think we're just animals, or do you think that human beings are somehow special?
I think we like to think we're special.
I
think there are reasons why we've evolved to be exceptional, because we are multi-talented. Is it ambidextrous or multidextrous or manual dexterity with the hands, the brain power? I think other animals are probably as intelligent as we are. We like to patronize other animal species by saying that they're not as intelligent as we are. I question that, but we don't speak the same language as they do, and they can't verbally tell us what they're thinking. Animals communicate non-verbally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as human beings, if we're very clear in our diet and everything, we are capable of that. I think we do to a degree, but other animals, notice with the cats and that particularly, they don't communicate with each other except mostly non-verbal. I think we're highly evolved, very successful, very clever. Things like art, design, literature, music, all of those things, pretty special. But I think we're also probably the most dangerous animal on the planet, and I think we're wrecking the planet. And I think we will, I don't see any way out of it, be the authors of our own demise and probably potentially everything else on this planet. That the scaremongering talk about nuclear war, since the beginning of the whole COVID thing, it has been amped up exponentially, and the whole Ukraine anti-Putin thing debate, the Israeli situation, it all seems to be hurting us and the climate and the environmental problems that we obviously have. You need to go out the door and see them. It's hurtling us towards probably extinction and possibly taking everything else with us.
That's a cheery thought.
Yes.
Keeps
me awake at night.
What about alcohol, tobacco, drugs? What's the vegan view of these things?
Whatever people, they're all, vegans are all different, like everybody else in the community. Some smoke dope. I've never liked that anyway, so I don't advocate that myself. But there's lots of vegan wines, don't mind a glass of wine. Not too often, but not too much. But, you know, that is nice. And a lot of New Zealand wines are vegan now. You can find some really good ones out there.
I find that funny. I wouldn't imagine. How do you have a non-vegan wine? What's been done to it?
Well, because there's the finings, which is the egg whites. There's these
egg whites.
Things.
How do they put egg white in a wine?
Yeah, what do they call it? It's finings, isn't it? To clarify.
Oh,
it
wow.
Takes out the sediment.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And New Zealand has been known in the past for producing some really good organic and vegan wines. They come and go on the supermarket shelf, but I notice now a lot more selection. And organic is best because I happen to know up in Marlborough, producers wonderful Sauvignons, but they're spraying the hell out of just about everything there. Knowing people who live in the town say that the spray drift is terrible up there. I don't know how we encourage New Zealand to go more organic, because we can also get premium prices for that produce from a purely GDP economic point of view.
Would you, it's just a, it's a tough one, right? Because obviously as a parent, we have to make decisions for our children and we want that to be in the best interests. And obviously children adopt our diet. What's been the experience of children growing up on a vegan diet?
Well, it's interesting. I would have, I married a meat eater. My daughter's father's a meat eater. I would have liked to her to be vegan. I did bring her up as healthy, raw as possible. I was always, from about 16, I discovered the value of salads and fruit. And as soon as juices came on the market, which I think was probably the early 80s, I had a juicer and ate carrot juices and found a lovely little juice bar in Wellington. When I was working for Wellington newspapers, I used to have my lunch there every day and mostly have a salad. And that was 80s, 90s. My daughter is aware of it, and she's lived in Britain. She had a boyfriend whose mother was vegan, organic, vegetarian like me. She knows the principles. Whether she is completely vegan, I don't know. That's her choice. I personally think that you arm them with the information and then let go and hope for the best. Just hope they'll be as best as they can be.
When you're in the vegan community, particularly online, presumably there are vegans who are raising their children totally vegan.
Yes.
And no apparent ill effect?
No.
Gosh, man, it's amazing to me.
Because of the internet and because of information sharing and because of the wonderful doctors like Neil Barnard and Michael Clapper and there's numerous doctors that are online that, and documentaries, Cowspiracy, What the Health, Food Matters with David Wolf. He's in that. There's been a lot of fabulous documentaries. In fact, they're coming out all the time now. Eating Our Way to Extinction, narrated by Kate Winslet, and that has Jane Goodall in it. And I think, and there was one made by James and Susie Cameron. They're vegan. He's the Titanic director. They live in Wairarapa now. And I think they have a vegan farm there. Or they did at one stage. But James Cameron produced The Game Changers, which, in my opinion, that and What the Health are the two best films, if anyone wants to go and have a look and do some research for themselves. The Game Changers was about athletes and veganism. A lot of the top athletes now are vegan or going vegan. A lot of good NFL players in the States. Mixed martial arts people, bodybuilders, Patrick Baboumian, who last time I looked was still the strongest man in the world, who could lift the most weights.
It's so counterintuitive to me.
It's counterintuitive because of the very clever marketing of the milk and dairy industry. And I know all about marketing because I wrote advertorial for Wellington newspapers for 13 years. I know how to make a company and a product sound good. But with veganism, with me, it's just authentic and what I know. And, of course, I'm not being paid to by anybody. I don't monetize my online accounts at the moment. I'm not funded by anyone. I'm just telling people the truth.
Can listeners that are interested follow you online?
Absolutely.
How do they do
that?
They
might find me a bit robust, in my opinion.
Well, I think we're up for that. How do they follow you?
And I is a warning alert. I'm very anti-pharmaceutical. I'd love to chat to you about that in another interview about my observation of what pharmaceutical products have done.
How do listeners follow you online?
Into people. So I'm on Instagram as dfashi, which is at at DFashi, Francesca Vegan. My second name is Francis, so Francesca's kind of my online vegan name. Yeah, Instagram's the best one because that's where they will find also other vegans to follow who are incredible people.
So it's at Francesca.
It's lowercase DFASHEYE. So I have a blog, but neglected at the moment, called Dunedin Fashion Eye.
Okay.
And I'm going to start putting more vegan stuff on that, or write in an adjoining blog.
One more time for people that were grabbing their pen, your Instagram.
If anyone is.
Yeah. They will be. What's your Instagram posting? What is it again?
It's Francesca Vegan, and the tag is at at DFASHEYE.
Ah,
so it's really at Dunedin Fashion Eye.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. How wonderful. Fascinating, isn't it? Vegan all those years, all robust, good health.
Mm.
We've been talking to Tricia Jardine, vegetarian for many, many years, vegan for many, many years, and alive, well, healthy,
very
passionate.
Get very there. Alive, very passionate.
There you go. You're on Reality Check Radio, Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. Please send us a text at 2057, email me at inbox@realitycheck.radio. So wonderful to have you along.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming on the show.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.